This is Maggie Jones in Natural Wonders. I'm going to rebroadcast a part of a show from August of 2023 and then add to the story, bring it up to date. This involves my experience with having rough-winged swallows visit our tobacco shed wall to see if there were any burrows to nest in behind the knotholes they saw there. You'll hear how all this started, and I'm going to bring you up to date, and I'll end with some other nest box stories and tips on improving common nest box plans. I hope you'll wind up half as excited as I am about building nest boxes, no matter what time of year it is, after hearing this story. As you'll soon hear, rough-winged swallows have very odd places they will nest. They like burrows, but will take all kinds of human-made pipes and boxes and odd-shaped cast-offs in odd places. I'll be back to update you on our progress and success with nest boxes. I have a story to tell about another aerial insectivore, the rough-winged swallow, one of the six swallow species we have here in Wisconsin. This past late spring, I heard some bird sounds that I don't hear very often. And I looked up in surprise. There was a pair of rough-winged swallows flying past me. They flew toward our tobacco shed and flew up and down and side to side over the northeast-facing wall of the big shed, exploring the cracks and worn openings in the old board wall structure. I realized they were looking for nest sites. Rough-winged swallows nest singly or in small colonies in burrows or crevices, including those in human-made structures. And these birds were seeing if there might be any burrows in this vertical wall. Then the two rough wings were gone as quickly as they had appeared. To my joy, a couple of days later, I found them about a half a mile away, setting up shop in a loose, rocky, road-cut bank. They had found a nice burrow between some slabs of rock. This is an area where I had seen rough wings in the past, but the last many summers there had been no activity there. So this was a double treat for me. These little swallows, like all of our swallows, and flycatchers, bats, nighthawks, whippoorwills, and chimney swifts, are beautiful flyers and fun to watch. They personify, in a nutshell, why we need to support and increase the abundance of the insect life that they depend on. And that means planting native plants that insects need to go through every life stage. Rough-winged swallows have a great variety in the nest sites that they use. My biologist friend, Mike Mossman, has found them nesting along the lower Wisconsin River and on the lower Baraboo River. He writes, "I've found many nests over the years. Most are in the common situations of small cliff faces and the rocky, sandier soil of roadside cuts, but they often nest in odd places, like nooks and crannies of buildings and bridges. A few pairs often nest among or at the edge of colonies of cliff or bank swallows. For example, along the lower Wisconsin River in cavities of vertical sandbanks or sandstone or dolomite cliffs. I found them in many places at the former Badger Army ammunition plant in both new and decrepit structures. In the rocket production area, they nested in the ends of 3 to 4 inch diameter iron pipes that were embedded 3 feet up in the concrete walls of the many press houses, the ends flush with the wall surface." And Mike goes on, "One place I delight in finding them is in the forested sloughs of the southern Wisconsin river bottoms, especially the lower Wisconsin and the lower Baraboo. In these places, they can nest quite distant from their usual sites, like cliffs and cut banks, in the cavities within tipped-up root masses of fallen trees. While exploring the backwaters by canoe, it's a joy to be tipped off by the presence of low-flying rough wings among the flooded forest or slough channels, and then to watch and follow them to these isolated nest sites. I've stood in the canoe or on mud at many such places, peering into the various pockets and holes among a cliff of roots to discover their nests. And that's Mike's email about these little swallows. This could add a new dimension to your canoe or kayak trips on our rivers to learn this little bird's call and see if you can figure out where they might be nesting. And I found, looking in Bent's Life Histories of North American Birds, published in 1942. This is available online. If you want to read Bent's Life Histories online, look for Birds by Bent, and you'll find somebody's gone to all the work to transmit these old volumes to the internet. I found this amazing description of an unusual nest site of the rough-winged swallow. In 1924, Howell writes, "A most remarkable site selected by one or more pairs of these birds for their nest was on a buttress beneath the deck of a transverse steamboat which made daily trips on the Tennessee River from Guntersville to Hobbs Island, a distance of 24 miles, leaving at 10 a.m. and returning at 6 p.m. The birds, of course, followed the boat all the way to feed their young. A nest examined on the boat, June 19, 1913, contained young." From Birds of the World, the Cornell site. "Their burrows located in precipitous bank of clay, sand, or gravel, but pair may accept any cavity or crevice in vertical surface, including gutters, culverts, drain pipes, boxes, and crevices or holes in walls, wharves, bridges, boats, ships, and semi-trailers, and even a Civil War cannon barrel. Tree holes rarely used, artificial nest tubes set into the face of a cliff or quarry bank are highly successful in attracting pairs in Michigan and Minnesota. Commonly associated with open water, but presence of water likely merely coincidental with the occurrence of suitable nest site. One extraordinary record in Puget Sound, Washington, of successful nest located in a drain pipe extending from a concrete wall within marine intertidal zone. High tide wavelets actually covered the pipe opening, although the pipe curved upward as it extended into the concrete wall and remained dry inside." And then another little tidbit from Birds of the World. "A single male returned on three successive days to a burrow containing nestlings within 24 hours after displacements of 6.4, 11.3, and 53.1 kilometers, each time returning within 24 hours. So I'm going to make some simple nest boxes for these birds and mount them on the inside wall that they were exploring this past spring on our tobacco shed. They will see a hole, and I will provide them with a nest box, maybe 4x4 and 25 or 30 inches deep, enclosed at the far end. What a thrill it would be to have them take up residence in our odd but inviting shed wall." Here's my 2025 update on this story. In the fall of 2023, we did build 5 nest boxes. I think they're about 4x4 and about 25 inches deep, and mounted them inside the shed, perpendicular to the wall, mounted on a simple bracket, and each opens to the outside through the shed wall via either a natural opening already in the wall or drilled into the wall with a hole saw. I'm happy to report we have 2 pairs of rough wings day after day examining and bringing nest material in, and I've been spending every minute I can spare watching them. After we put those nest boxes in the shed in 2023, the following year, I saw a pair arrive in the first week of May and explore the holes in the wall with the boxes inside, but they moved on. This year, they're staying around and I hear their soft chatter. I have a chair placed so I can go sit and enjoy watching them. Rough-winged swallows will also nest in boxes like these that I describe, mounted on the outside of a building, sheltered under the eaves or the soffit, lying flush against the wall, one end of the box closed and the other end open. I've seen articles recommending using pipe also this way, and I think Mike said that at the buildings he saw, the pipe was 3 to 4 inches. This may not be the best timing for building nest boxes. A lot of birds are already nesting, but bluebirds re-nest quite often during the summer. So getting boxes out now or any time, really, is a good time for them. Knowing that there was a pair of kestrels in our area, we put out a new kestrel box on March 26th, and it was taken up immediately. Their eggs will be hatching right about now. But at any other time of year, if you want to build a kestrel box or any kind of nest box, that's the time to do it. It might be used for winter shelter. It will be investigated for use next year. It will become a part of the available habitat. I have some tips about nest boxes in general. I think hotter summer temperatures and overheating are issues to address by building the top of any nest box with oversized overhangs so that it gives plenty of shade, and cut a drip edge into your top piece so that rain doesn't wick back under and back into the box. Also, ventilation holes are very important, and I make sure to have plenty, usually more than nest box designs I find in books or online recommend. I also paint them a light color, never a dark color. One more story. I build bat boxes too, and I've taken to ignoring the standard recommendation to paint them a dark color, especially if they face south. You might experiment and paint one dark and one lighter and place them next to each other and see which one is preferred. And if you have a bat box mounted in place and it hasn't been used yet, I urge you to be especially patient. In my experience, years have gone by with bat roost boxes not being used, and then all of a sudden you'll find some droppings below the box and they've found it. I've had boxes go to friends who put them in all kinds of places, and with enough time, they all seem to get used. It may take a few years, but when they do find your box, it's a real treat, and this is an endangered species that really needs our help. I decided to build a large bat condominium out of full-dimensioned old boards, very large, with lots of baffles inside. What I wanted to do with that approach was to provide some mass and temperature stability over the day and night temperature fluctuations. We needed our friends to come over and help get it mounted. It was a fun day, and so far a couple of years have gone by and no bats, but there are flying squirrels using it, so I'm happy about them being there. I can't figure out how they orient themselves in there, but they seem happy. And remember that owls will use boxes too. Barred owls, great horned owls, will use larger boxes with a half-open front and some nest material tucked around behind. They don't build nests, but they know a good nest when they see one. And screech owls will use kestrel boxes. Tree swallows will use bluebird boxes. And in winter, as you may have discovered if you've cleaned bluebird boxes in the off-season, little deer mice will use those boxes too. Be sure to look up recommendations for placement and best designs and plans. So don't feel like this isn't the time to be thinking about having some fun building nest boxes. If you have the opportunity and inclination striking at the same time, then that's when the iron is hot. I want to take a minute to say how I mourn the passing of old buildings around here. The tobacco sheds and silos and granaries all make good habitat for wildlife, and if we're not using them, then let's let the bats roost there and the turkey vultures nest in an old barn loft. Our native milk snakes have a place to hide and hunt in old foundations. Let's not clean up so much. Let's leave some rock piles and piles of leaves and brush piles for bumblebees and all the creatures we share our earth with. Fewer tight buildings and mowed lawns will pay dividends to wildlife. And if you have newer buildings, you can adorn them with bat roost houses. Be sure to cover windows with netting or vertical bands to make sure birds don't die flying into them. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thank you for listening.